Mark 13 and verse number 1. And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be one left stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? Jesus answering them began to say, Take heed lest any man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. When ye hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. For nations shall rise against nations, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before the rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do you premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son. The children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. But when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains, and let him that is on the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of the house, and let him that is in the field not turn back again for to take up his garment. But woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. And pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, for in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of the creation which God created unto this time, neither shall be, except that the Lord had shortened those days. No flesh should be saved, but for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days. And then if any man shall say to you, Lo, here is Christ, or Lo, he is there, believe him not, for false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. But in those days after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. The stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in the heaven shall be shaken. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect from four winds, from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer's near. So ye in like manner, when you shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the door. Verily I say unto you that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Heavenly Father, what an anonymous chapter, Lord, and as we approach this subject tonight of the signs of the time and what I believe to be the near coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, I think we certainly read it today in a way, in a different way, Lord, than we did even a couple of years ago. And so, Lord, as we begin to see the events unfold that is laying the groundwork and the preparation necessary for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to obey these last admonitions. Lord, may you find us watching. Dear Lord, may you find us busy serving you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Mark chapter 13, with our teaching on the spirit of Antichrist during our adult Sunday school class time, and then on spiritual warfare, and some of the things we've touched, and now into the Christian armor, certainly feeds into a lot of other things that we've been teaching on. And so we'll go down through this chapter, and again, with the amount of time and trying to do one chapter every single Wednesday night, there'll be some portions I just summarize. We won't go verse by verse, phrase by phrase, word by word, obviously. But I broke down the chapter into several parts. Number one, the prediction of coming judgment. We see that in the first four verses. And then we see global signs of the second advent. That's 5 through 8. And then we'll look at verse 9 through 13, the persecution of God's people that will arise. And then verse 14 down through verse 25, we'll look at the revealing of the Antichrist, the kickoff of the second half of the tribulation period. And we'll go back to the book of Revelation, just do some reading. And then we won't just go to Revelation 15 and 16, because the next section is the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's not the rapture. That is when he comes to the earth in Revelation chapter 19. And then shall they see, shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then the parable of the fig tree, and then end time, facts and promises. So we'll get through this in a timely fashion and touch on some of those things tonight. Number one, the prediction of the coming judgment. I do not blame the disciples, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, for the questions they asked in verse number 4. Because of what Jesus said when they were giving him a tour of the temple. The temple was a magnificent place. I wish I could have seen the original temple. I think it would have been awesome to see. And then the second temple that, of course, was built, and still a magnificent building. They mentioned the stones, the size of the stones. See what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And then Jesus says this. In verse 2, seest thou these great buildings, there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Understand, folks, this is where the disciples have gone to worship. They have family connected to this place. All of a sudden, that is stated. It would be like having a guest evangelist, not exactly, but put it in somewhat of a reference. Come to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and I say, hey, let me give you a tour of the facilities. And I talk about the different buildings and when they were built. And when I get all done, he looked around and said, well, that's wonderful, because they're just going to be rubble and ashes in a short time. I think I would be asking him the when and the what, because you know what? That's my church. These are my people. These are our families. These are our loved ones. Come on, these are your brothers and sisters in Christ. Come on, our little children play in the hallways here, you know. And our little babies are secure, feel secure in the nursery. And can you imagine how all of a sudden very personal that became to the disciples, because they want to know, okay, is this going to affect me? What about my children? What about my grandchildren? When is this going to happen? So there's two questions. When shall these things be in verse 4? And then the second question, and what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? And so Jesus is going to spend the balance of the chapter answering those two questions. He's going to get down to the when. He's going to jump the first question and go to the what shall be the signs until he gets to the very end, where he will unequivocally state that, listen, I can't tell you when. Isn't that interesting? I don't know all the dynamics. I am glad I have such an amazing God that my little pea brain can't comprehend him. He wouldn't be much of a God if I could comprehend all of the nuances of the Trinity. But it's interesting, he says, no man knows it. So anytime you hear a guy get up and start setting dates, just mark him off as a Looney Tune, because he don't know what he's talking about. He said, the angels don't know it. He said, the Son doesn't even know it. He said, only the Father. You know when Jesus is going to find out? When the Father says, go get your bride. That's when he's going to find out. So again, This is a very well-guarded secret. There's no use of us spending a lot of time on the winds as far as the specifics. But answering the second question allows us to be able to at least discern the signs of the near coming of Christ. And I think that these things unfold at different times in the church age because we need a wake-up call from time to time. Here's something else that's occurred that reminds us, boy, this is a sign. This is something that Christ has said. This is something that's going to happen. Because, folks, it is easy for us just, you know, and I don't mean intentionally. I don't mean we do it on purpose, but we get busy in everyday life. And, you know, we're just trying to get through another day and another week, and it's easy to not be watching, to not be thinking, to not be looking for the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But these signs are good for us and useful. And certainly, as I'll mention a few times, some things that have just, you know, happened recently that all of a sudden causes a few things to jump off the page like, oh my goodness, I can sure see that now. How about, let's look at this, global signs of the second advent. And that would be found in verse 5, 6, 7, and 8. Jesus answering them began to say, take heed that any man, that lest man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now, one of the first things he deals with this idea of deception. And folks, as the spirit of Antichrist is unleashed, one of the things we find, I won't take you back there, but on Sunday morning, there's four places you'll find the word Antichrist in the Bible. And one of those, one of the things it says is that he will be a great deceiver. He will deceive the world. One of the hard things we need to understand, one of the reasons we need to have such a strong connection to the Bible is because when you know the Bible, the better you know the Bible, you know what? It's harder to deceive you about things. And so for those of you, and I mean this, I'll just say it, the Sunday morning only crowd, and by the way, I love people that come to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and if all they'll come is Sunday morning, I'm glad to be their pastor, and I'm glad they come here. But it's going to be easier to deceive them in the end times than it would be someone that comes Sunday morning, Sunday night, reads their Bible for themselves, studies these things out, watches these things, knows the signs. Because here Jesus starts out dealing with the idea of deception and the spirits of Antichrist. There's a spirit of Antichrist, but then again, when we study this on Sunday morning, he said there's many spirits of Antichrist. And there are people that are anti-God, Antichrist, that are creating an Antichrist spirit in the population. There'd be many Antichrists, I should say. There'd be many Antichrists. So there's a lot of people that are Antichrist. They're saying, don't listen to Christ. They're saying, in essence, I am Christ. Listen to me. Don't listen to that other Christ. And they're stepping up trying to deceive many. And then it says also, so we're warned of great deceptions that'll be connected with the spirit of Antichrist. It will abound. First John 2:18, I'll read it, little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists whereby you know that it is the last time. And I explained all this, I won't reteach it. Listen to this, if you're a Sunday school teacher, or you're not in the adult Sunday school class, I would really encourage you to listen to those lessons. He said, hey, the world's going to be flooded with little miniature wannabe antichrists that help prepare the world for the antichrist. And I won't go back and explain all that. But then, so we're warned of great deception. By the way, look down at verse 21 and 22 of the same chapter. He hits it again. Here we go. And then if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. He said, I'm warning you about this. Be careful. Be careful. Now, we see in the book of Revelation that when the Antichrist comes, one of the ways he will deceive the world is he's going to be able to perform miracles. And so we have to understand that. Now, remember that, okay? Because I think some of the Antichrists that are coming and leading the way, I think the closer we get to the end times, you're going to see more and more that are able to do miraculous things. And it will deceive, the Bible says, even the very elect. Which means we're not gone yet. Okay, so be careful. I think we're going to see some unprecedented things. I think the closer, you know, when you really start slowing down reading this, and I've really, we all have, haven't we? Also, we're reading this with fresh eyes, new eyes. And we realize there's a lot of things that we haven't seen yet that we could see. Some, you know, I want to just blow the trumpet. Let me just wake up all American Christians. Everybody's listening. I think our people get this. I think I've said it enough. But this whole idea that, hey, things might get a little rough, but man, before we have to really suffer anything, rapture's going to come. We're just going to be up there, you know, popping popcorn, watching the show. You won't find that taught in your King James Holy Bible. There are many, many passages that indicate that the church is going to not go through part of the tribulation period. Don't fall for this mid-trib nonsense that's being taught out there. I'm telling you, don't fall for it. You accept that false teaching. There's a whole other bunch of false teachings that follow that that you've opened the door to in a place you don't want to go, okay? But I will say this. We have, I think, wrongly, I've listened to it and heard it preached this way, that sometimes, you know what, growing up, I just kind of got the idea that, hey, you know what, I don't have to worry about any of this. And you know, we're just going to be living our lives. Everything's going to be going well. And you know, we're not going to face anything, and times aren't going to get tough. And if it starts getting a little tough, Jesus will come get us, and then we'll just, hey, we'll be good. Well, you better take a look at what Jesus is saying. Why is he so diligent to warn his disciples? You're going to have to be prepared. You've got to be careful. You're not even deceived by these things if we're not seeing at least the runway before the plane gets up. We're going to be there. And so we see that here, warned of great deceptions. Then wars and rumors of war. Now, folks, think about this, because in all of these things that are mentioned, most of the things that are mentioned on this list, they've been happening throughout history. Sometimes more times than other. There's been never been a time of peace. By the way, it's documented. You study the known history of the of mankind, all the history that's written, there's never been one moment on the planet where everybody's been at peace. There's always been war. There's always been rumors of war. Okay, so if this is a sign of the time of the coming of Christ, then we know that all these things that are spoken about is going to be increased. I want to say this. I really believe, again, that the church is going to see that. I think they're going to see wars and rumors of wars in a way that we have not seen in our lifetime, in a way that none of us has seen in our lifetimes. Talking about the World War II crowd that's still alive, even though they're very few. I'm talking about some of the other things that we've had to go through. I think you're going to begin to see an unrest like you've never seen before. And let me show you why. Watch this. The Bible says in verse 8, look at this. For nation shall rise against nation. And notice what it says. And what? Kingdom against. Notice it doesn't say kingdoms against kingdoms. You know why? Because there's two kingdoms. And folks, everything that we're seeing right now is spiritual warfare. Everything we're seeing is the kingdom of the devil, the kingdom of darkness against the kingdom of light. And more, these kingdoms, they may be using nations and they may be using kings, but I'm telling you, everything falls back to the great war that's raged since the Garden of Eden. And so we're going to begin to see more and more of that. And there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, in various places. Let me read you something Hal Lindsey wrote. Earthquakes continue to increase in frequency and in intensity, just as the Bible predicts for the last days before the return of Christ. History shows that the number of killer quakes, remained fairly constant until the 1950s, averaging between 2 to 4 per decade. That's 2 or 4 per decade every 10 years. In the 50s, then, there were 9. In the 60s, there were 13. In the 70s, there were 51. In the 80s, there were 86. And then he wrote this in 96. From 1990 to 1996, there have been more than 150. And what we're seeing is birthing pains, folks. What we're seeing is an increase in all of the things that Jesus mentioned. These things are happening more and more in intensity and frequency. The next thing he mentions is famines. Very interesting. I read an article David Beasley, who's the executive director, that accepted the United Nations. He ran the United Nations World Food Program, and it won the Nobel Peace Prize. And as he was doing his acceptance speech, he was warning of upcoming things. Watch this. He took the opportunity to warn that without drastic measures fueled by massive influx of funding, the world faces, here's his quote, famines of biblical proportion as soon as 2022. Beasley said every one of the 690 million hungry people in the world today have the right to live peacefully and without hunger. Today, the Nobel Committee has turned the global spotlight on them and on the devastating consequences of conflict. But he goes on to warn this about the situation that is now. And this he said this just as the pandemic was gearing up. Climate shocks and economic pressures have further compounded their plight. And now a global pandemic with its brutal impact on the economies and communities is pushing millions more to the brink of starvation. Afterwards, in an interview with AP, Beasley repeated the warning he gave the UN Security Council in April, in which he cautioned the world leaders that due to the lingering pandemic, next year, speaking of 2022, is anticipated to be worse than this year without billions of dollars. Surprise, surprise, they want money to fix it. We are going to have famines of biblical proportion in 2022. He noted there are currently 135 million people facing crisis level of hunger or worse, while deficits and difficulties generated by COVID-19 could push an additional 130 million people to the brink of starvation by the end of 2022. And I understand he's got an agenda, and I know I can read between the lines. But also, here's somebody on the front lines that's dealing with this every day. And you know what he's saying? Hey, you know what he's saying without knowing it? Jesus is right. You better pay attention. Jesus was right. And then you see that last word, troubles, here. Oh, he mentions troubles also. And in this portion of Scripture, in verse number 8, it says there shall be famines and troubles near the end. And he says these are the beginning of sorrows. By the way, troubles means sedition. It means riot. It means upheavals. It means violence. Folks, come on. We've seen that in the United States like we've never seen it in the United States. And it's not going to go away. You know why? Because bad behavior was rewarded. I want to say it again. Bad behavior was rewarded. You reward bad behavior, whether you do it with your two-year-old or whether you do it with a bunch of rioters in America. And you know what they learn? If we do this, we get our way. Okay, so you know what? The powers that be said, we're going to let you get your way. Unless you're a conservative and you do it, and then you get thrown in jail and the keys thrown away. But hey, you know what? Let's not bring politics into this. But seditions and riots and upheavals and violence. You know, folks, the more that the world and Americans are taught, the way you get your way is that you go burn things down, you break things, you attack people, you loot, until somebody gives in and gives you what you want. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's a scary situation, and we've said things about that. All right, let's keep moving. Number three, the person. Now, what about this? It's interesting. 9 through 13, come on, get your antennas on high alert. Folks, these things are also going to be turned in such a way to give the world an excuse to blame Christians. Or this next section wouldn't follow that. Okay, so we're going to have all of these things, preacher. We're going to have the wars, and we're going to have the earthquakes, and we're going to have the famines, and we're going to have troubles. And so we're going to have all of these things. So watch this, verse 9. But take heed to yourselves. Now, he said, now watch this. When you see these things really begin to snowball and intensify, and we haven't seen them snowball and intensify, every stat I read and everything I've given you is the tip of the iceberg, I think, to what's going to really begin to increase. Okay? You start taking heed to yourselves. You better start watching your back is what he's saying. Why? For they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogue, watch this, ye shall be beaten, ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. For the gospel must first be published among all nations. That's there for a reason, okay? Watch this. You know what? Why, when all of these things go crazy and the world starts flying out of control, why all of a sudden are God's people, true believers, followers of Christ, being dragged before the authorities? Well, somehow, the spirit of Antichrist has to find the person to blame. Okay, this is what Hitler did. That's why there was a group of people that eventually had to wear a gold star. Okay, or in our instances, me and my wife, when we went to see Nancy and Kevin at the nursing home, and then they asked me a medical question they shouldn't be allowed to ask me, and I give them an answer they don't want to hear. And so, well, you have to sign this form. And by the way, the mask you're wearing isn't enough. You have to wear this shield as you walk down the hallways. Now, when you go into rooms, you can take it off. But you have to wear this shield. Now, why do I have to wear that shield? Because they, you know, folks, listen to me. They're starting to shame us. That's why. Okay, if you won't get in line and do what the government says, we're going to find a way to visibly, so people, I mean, we're walking down, you know, now we're the shield people. We don't have the gold star yet, but we got the shield. Because I choose to make a medical decision. I've already said this. Don't misinterpret this. Don't misinterpret online. I told you, I don't care if you get the vaccine or not. I want you to have the choice as an American to get it if you want it or don't get it if you don't. But I don't want the government to begin to tell us what we have to do when it comes to our physical bodies. That to me is the issue. It's not the face mask, not the vaccine. Make your own, hey, you're American, okay? Make your decision. But don't persecute the people that make a decision different than you, whether it's one way or the other, okay? And so how is this going to get turned? And you start thinking about this, and I don't even think we really know. I think we just learned some things. I think we're learning some things right now. Okay, where all of a sudden we are being conditioned that there are good people, responsible people, obedient people, and there are bad people, disobedient, irresponsible people that don't care about other people. I'm sorry, but I had to face those personal attacks, minding my own business, during the face mask mandate. I'm having to face those attacks again because of a vaccine. Is being basically shoved down the throats of every American at the risk. Talk to Matt afterwards if you want to get some insight. And other people that are getting to the point where they're using as leverage, they're going to fire people if they don't fall in line, they don't do these things. And so, okay, again, is it vaccine or I don't care. What I do care about is that they're preconditioning the thinking of the American population. They're creating the spirit of Antichrist. Okay, so now, let's go down first and look then, okay? And so the Bible says, now, why is God allowing this? Preacher, why would God allow this? Okay, and the gospel must first be published among all nations. So they're going to drag you in front of the court system and the councils and kings and rulers, and you're going to have an opportunity to say something in your defense. By the way, so was the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul got that. What did he do every time he got an opportunity to defend himself? He started talking about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave the testimony of what happened on the Damascus Road. He told the whole world why he was different. He wasn't arguing vaccines and face masks. He was preaching Jesus. So if God allows these things and somebody sticks a microphone in our face, he's saying this, watch this. But verse 11, 12. And when, not if, but when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do you premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. So he's saying this. He's saying, hey, you know what? This is going to open up increased opportunities to the point where it's going to fulfill verse number 10. And the gospel must be published among all nations. You know what that teaches me? No matter what level of persecution I have to go through as a Christian, okay, I can sit there and argue things that I'm not going to win anyway, or I can take those opportunities and preach Jesus, and maybe God putting the persecution on the Christians will allow us to have a voice in places we never had before. Wait a minute, preacher, I don't want persecution. You know, this is funny, because we pray for worldwide revival, and then we say, but Lord, we don't want you to do anything that's going to upset the apple cart and not make our life. You know, this is going to result in the gospel being published among all nations. And so maybe we ought to kind of start thinking differently about this. Okay, I'm not saying don't stand up for your rights, and I'm not saying don't stand up for the Constitution and the First and Second Amendment. I got it. Okay, come on. I'm as redneck as anybody in here. I got it. But I'm also saying this. Don't get so sidetracked on those that you forget if God puts you in that situation, you're given an opportunity. The most important thing you can say has nothing to do with any of that. And you might be afforded opportunity to stand and have broadcasts. We don't know how far. We don't know how far. You know, one of the side effects, and again, two-edged sword, I get it. But one of the things that has happened that would never have happened because of this pandemic is that churches like Blessed Hope Baptist Church that wasn't on YouTube and never live streamed, and you know, all of a sudden we didn't have a choice. Again, I think that's part of the Lord putting us in an uncomfortable situation to get us to do, I don't care about your decision on live stream or not, but to get a voice out in arenas that we've never had a voice before, we're hesitant to get a voice in. But even with that, it's a two-edged sword. Because you know what? There's so much Jerry Ross has said, and so much that's recorded, and so much that's out there that we could never get back. Don't worry about it, folks. You'll know when it really gets bad. I'll be the first one in jail. Okay, the rest of you, I think there's a portion of scripture about go run and hide in the wilderness or something. So we'll there's got to be a few of us that signal the beginning, you know. But someone said something about pulling stuff off. I said, are you kidding me? There's so many crazy things I've said that's out there. Yeah. I'm not even going to try to defend it. I'm just going to preach Jesus because there is no reason to defend it. But wait a minute, how bad will it get? I mean, think about the craziness of this, folks. Verse 12, 13, we're talking about the third section, persecution of God's people. Now the brother shall betray brother to death. Father, the son, children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to, watch this, to be put to death. And ye shall, now here, think about this next phrase. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Okay, folks, if Jesus said it, okay, it's going to come to pass. Sounds like it's going to get pretty bad. Okay, I got children in here. I've got teenagers. I got little girls in here. I got parents that's already sitting there going, preacher, you realize how late we're going to be up tonight? You know who's going to jump in my bed in the middle of the night? I want to be careful. But I also don't want the Church of Jesus Christ to just get this lackadaisy idea that we're just going to, ride in plush comfort all the way till the trumpet sounds. And what we better do? We better armor up. What we better do? We better start taking some things seriously. We better get a Jesus view, an umbrella view of the whole picture, and understand what's happening and why it's happening, and God has purposes in it, and capitalize on those purposes. Okay, but think about this. And here's where I stopped, and I thought, okay, and again, I'm going to throw a scenario out there, and it's probably not it. But, I think to myself, how in the world could it get so bad that family members are turning in family members? I mean, folks, come on, when it's blood relation, family? But there's something that's going to happen that's going to so divide people. And this nation's divided. Okay, it's divided. Even within your own family, I guarantee in your own family in here, there are volatile opposite opinions about how you are responding to all of this as opposed to how they're choosing to pause. I mean, to the place where if you bring it up, there's going to be such an argument. There's already rifts in families about what's happened so far. Then I think about, well, what about the next pandemic? And I do think it is, there are other things that are very calculated, very well planned that's going to be in their timing, as God allows, unleashed. I think this one was a test case. I think that there's going to be other things. What are you doing, preacher? I'm trying to scare everybody. No, I'm just getting you to understand, folks, birth pains are birth pains. Come on, any lady in here that's had a baby can tell you. What about birth pains? That first contraction takes you by surprise. But you know what? That's not the easiest one. And they're going to get closer together and they're going to get tougher. And come on, church. You know what? We better get in our Bibles. We better take prayer time serious. When I teach you about systematically putting on the armor of God, it's about time we start doing some things, okay? Taking it to heart, getting ready to do some things. But you think, okay, I said this one time. I don't remember if I said it publicly or said it privately, but I thought, as much as it divided, the world, as much as people who didn't want to do certain things because of personal choices of personal liberty, how they were attacked, and man alive, you're the spreader and you're a carrier and you don't care about people. And all of a sudden now there's another one that's released. Only the target group that is taken out isn't elderly and people with pre-existing conditions, but all of a sudden they've designed one that really begins to take out the babies and the young children. And come on, mamas, come on. I mean, every one of us, come on, grandmas and grandpas. All of a sudden, this went to a whole different level. Okay, and all of a sudden, I don't know if this is what the devil's going to do. I couldn't have called the last one. I'm sure not probably going to call the next one. But I'm telling you that he's going to do something to create this type of an environment. And what if all of a sudden it's, we have got to save the children? How dare you not? Well, the only way we can track this is we need to get people with a chip where we can scan. And that way they can't come out in the public. They can't buy. They can't sell. Well, that's what's going to happen. I don't know if it's going to be a chip, but there's something that's going to cause people to not only fall in line under the Antichrist, but to be willing to turn anyone in that they know, including family members who will not do it. This is why when Jesus says when he comes down, he'll gather from the four winds to the uttermost parts of the earth, to the uttermost parts of heaven. I think the handful of Christians that survive all the way to the end of the tribulation period will have had to have fleeing of fleeing. I want to say flown, and that didn't sound right. Hide, fleen? Is that a word? I don't know. You guys will have to help me afterwards. But anyway, they're gonna have to scat. They're gonna have to go hide. Best game of hide and seek ever. I mean, they're gonna have to find the ultimate hiding place, you know. And Jesus is gonna be like, okay, he's coming back. He's gathering the uttermost parts of heaven. He's gonna go down and take care of business, okay. But here we see this situation. It's like, okay, something has to happen to create that type of a viciousness. Now, again, we're being preconditioned. I mean, in the last several things have happened. In large cities, there were 800 numbers issued, Los Angeles, where you could literally call in if you saw your neighbors outside without a mask on. If you saw people that had too many cars in their driveway. Come on, in San Francisco, you had an 800 number. New York City had an 800 number. Chicago had an 800 number. Okay, now preconditioning everybody that it is your civil duty as a responsible American to see that these people that care so little about other people and so irresponsible and are helping to kill our children. Okay, I don't know if that's going to be it, but something's going to be it. Something's going to create, and you know what? Somehow it's going, now think about this. How could it be where the Christians become the ones that are targeted? Okay, I think that the devil knows the Bible. I think the other antichrists, I think the people that hate the Bible and hate churches, like see every one of us shut down, they know the Bible. Okay, they know the book of Revelation. What's the one thing that they know, Christians? I mean, we might compromise in a lot of areas, but we know the consequences that if we compromise in one area, the one thing, I mean, come on, there's a lot of things that we said we believed that we might move or vacillate on. But when it comes down to having a mark in my forehead or on my hand, come on, born-again Christians, you go in there? I mean, no matter what, are you going there? So you think about that. Don't you think if I know that, you know that, the devil's crowd knows that? See, I don't even think they believe the Bible, but they can use the Bible. Now, watch this. They use what they know of the Bible to persecute the people they don't, and in doing so, fulfill the Bible. Okay, say, what are you doing? I'm being a watchman on the wall. Folks, you've got to be a seer. Your pastor better be a seer. There's got to be across the country men that aren't just seeing what's happening, but looking down 6, 8, 10 steps and say, wait a minute. And some of the things I've blown the trumpet on, so oh, I think you're overreacting a little bit. I'm not overreacting because I'm not just seeing what you're seeing. I'm seeing where this could be 6 steps, 10 steps. And by the way, we have those men in our church. I think a lot of you men are seeing that. Some of you ladies are seeing this stuff. What I'm doing, I'm throwing out a scenario that might not even be the scenario, but it will be something Something has got to happen. And it's got to isolate and make a target of true-hearted believers that not just say they believe this book, but really believe this book. And we'll have a couple lines that says, hey, you know what? I've done everything I can to get along with y'all. But I'm sorry, I got chapter and verse on this. No! But all of a sudden that no makes you so that what? Take heed to yourselves. You shall be beaten. You shall be brought before rulers for my sake. Okay? Brother shall betray brother to death. Children shall rise, father and son, children shall rise up against their parents, shall cause them to be put to death, and ye shall be hated of all men. Again, whatever the scenario is, I don't know, folks. Like you say, preacher, you're talking about Mark of the Beast stuff, and if it goes to that, wouldn't we be raptured out? Yeah, we could be raptured out. Could be raptured out, or would be raptured out, but how close to that do we get? I don't know. You know what my vote is? Not very close. You know, honestly, I'd like to win four of the five crowns. I really am not the guy that says, I'd be glad to watch Brian Morris get the martyr crown and just go. I'm so proud of him. I am so proud of him. And he goes back, you didn't get this. I know, and I'm glad, you know. You got raptured in two pieces. I got raptured in one, okay? So your head went and your body went, and we'll build a statue or something. You know, I don't know. Get torn down. I'm tearing that one down. So refusal to take the mark of the beast will be a cause for intense persecution. I think that the steps up to that will start dividing. Remember, it's kingdom against kingdom, hated of all men. Wow. Think about that. The one who unleashes it, whatever the next plandemic or whatever they use, watch this. I believe the same ones that unleash it will be the same ones that then stand up and point to the Christians and blame them for it. And sadly, it's going to work. It's worked in human history before. It will work again. Okay, number four, revealing of the Antichrist, verse 14. Now, this very definitely is speaking to the Jewish population because of the way it's written. Watch this. But when you shall, and by the way, I'll pull some Bible principles out. All of this is written to the Jews. All of the entire chapters written to the Jews. But remember, folks, it doesn't mean that all scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable. We get Bible principles, and we can take those principles and transform to where we are and our circumstance, okay? Number four, revealing of the Antichrist, second half of the tribulation period. What is the abomination of desolation? Well, you know what? When the Antichrist first appears, for the first 3.5 years, he's going to be riding that horse of peace and alive. He's going to just sign treaties and everybody's taken care of and the temple's being rebuilt. I got to say this because it keeps popping up on our radio station locally. I got another call today about it. But I want to tell you the handful of Independent Fundamental Baptists have got to find a new toy and play with it for every once in a while, and then somebody's got to take their toy away. But there's people that are saying, and even on our local radio station, they're saying that, and I'm not saying it's Doug Cass, I'm saying some of the guys he has on there, one guy, I guess, is saying that he believes there could be a 40-year gap between the rapture and the start of the tribulation period. That's hogwash. I know most of you are looking like, I didn't even know that was out there. I know there's so many things out there I don't ever mention from here because then, you know, I help the idiots that are doing it. But you know what? Again, folks, just read the Bible and believe the Bible. It's got to be like this new, every new generation got to find something they discovered. I mean, John Rice missed this, you know. I don't know. Spurgeon, he wasn't on top of this, but I figured it out with my bachelor's degree from Hiles Anderson College. I figured this out. No, I don't. I just tend to listen to the old, come on, the old gray heads. I'm going to read the guy 100 years ago, not 100 minutes ago. And I'm going to fall where they fall on these things, okay? Revealing of the Antichrist, second half of the tribulation period. We see the abomination of desolation. What is that? Well, again, the Antichrist comes, first 3.5 years. He brings peace. Everything looks good. Rebuilding of the temple. And the Jews are put in a positive light, a good light. And then all of a sudden, 3.5 year mark, he walks into the same temple he allowed to be rebuilt. And guess what? He proclaims himself as the Messiah, the Savior. He desecrates their temple. And when that happens, this next thing needs to happen. If you're a Jew and you're still here, you know what Jesus is saying? Listen to the seriousness of it. He says this, let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains, and let him that is on the housetop not go down into his house, neither enter therein to take anything out of his house, jumped a line. And let him that is in the field turn not back again to take up his garment. You're working in the field, don't run over and get your jacket. Run for the mountains. You're on the housetop, you go down those steps, don't you go in the house and grab. So you think about that. If the Antichrist, when he does this, is able to enforce it that quickly, think of what he had to build up behind the scenes for 3.5 years that everybody just thought was peace, love, and joy. But all of a sudden, the second he announces it, can you imagine the swarming of the enforcers and those that will kill and those that will persecute, those that are going to try to destroy God's chosen people, to the point where he said, I mean, this is going to happen. They're going to be watching it on TV and you better run. Man, I'm going to say at this point, thank God we're up there during this time here. But this is, again, to the Jews here that's written to the Jews. Wow, think about that. Woe to him that are with child. Wow, thinking about being a mama, brand new baby, and all of a sudden, you know, you're in that situation. Pray ye that your flight be not in the winter. Now, how bad is it going to be for the Jewish people during this time? What's the last 3.5 years going to be for the Jewish people? Look at verse 19. For in those days shall be affliction. Here's the description. Such as was not from the beginning of creation, which God created unto this time, neither shall be. Then it goes on to say this, and except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he has shortened the days. It's like if Jesus didn't come down there and shorten this time and interrupt this thing, there wouldn't be a Jew left when Jesus comes in on that white horse. Okay? So think about how terrible this is. And then the warning against false prophets again. And then look, if you will, in verse number 24, but in those days after that tribulation, then all of a sudden you're going to begin. And I think one of the ways that the Lord is going to shorten the days is the Antichrist and all of his goons, who's just focused on snuffing out Israel, all of a sudden God's going to start unleashing those vials. Now, I believe at this point, last 3.5 years, we're going to be getting into the vial part of it, where the wrath of God is poured out without mixture, and some of this corresponds with what we read there. I don't have time tonight. I was going to go back and read Revelation 15. You do that. 15 verse 1 talks about the wrath of God being poured out without mixture. And then chapter 16 of the book of Revelation, those 7 vials that are going to be poured out. And I think what will happen is God basically, in order to save the elect, is going to just unleash such judgment at such level upon the world. They ain't going to have time to go try to hunt down a Jew and kill them. They're going to be trying to survive themselves. And so God is going to pour that out. Hey, I think that he's the same God that poured out judgment upon the Egyptians while the Israelites were still in Egypt, and yet guess where it didn't come? And so God in a very targeted fashion, is unleashing these things, protecting his people, those true-hearted believers that are left, and judging those that are blaspheming him and rejecting him. And then we see, I told you I wouldn't go back to 15, but we're going to Revelation chapter 19. We've got to read this. Come on. Then we see verse, well, preacher, what's going to put a stop to the chaos? What is going to, Revelation 19 and verse number 11. Verse 26 says, and then Mark 13 says, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. What are they going to see? They're going to see what John saw. In Revelation 19, 11, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes shall be as a flame of fire, and on his head shall be many crowns, and he shall have a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. That's me and you, by the way. praise the Lord, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and that with it he should smite the nations. All that's ever needed for God has been his word. It's all that's ever been needed. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He shall have on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now listen, folks, why do you love that? Why do you go back? Why do you read that publicly and in your private devotion? Because I want to be reminded who wins this thing. Okay, I'm like you. I'm made out of the same stuff you are. Trust me. With some of the stuff that's happened the last year and a half, man alive, I've gone through stretches where I'm fighting personal depression. I mean, I just feel like every time another day, calendar day comes, there's another story and the devil seems to be winning again. And it's going to seem like that way to those Jewish people. The Bible says, that's why he says, you know what? He said, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. You're going to want to just give in and take this mark. Don't do it. Okay, you're going to think, well, I can't survive in the wilderness. You go there anyway. You let me worry about helping you survive. My worst thing that could happen is you die and you're with Jesus anyway. But there's going to have to be a level of faith exercised. And this is what we, the church, need. I believe, even though we're not going through the 7-year tribulation period, there's going to be tribulation come and persecution to the church in our day and our time. That's going to require an increased level of faith on our part. Where sometimes I'm looking at some of you, and you're going to say, but preacher. And I say, I know all of those consequences, but what is the right thing to do? What must we do? And that's, again, what we've kind of been preconditioned. We're getting ready to face there, okay? The parable of the fig tree. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. Verse 28, when her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is near. Now, I'm going to say something, and if there's going to be people disagree, and it's okay that you disagree. Aren't you glad there's parts we can disagree about in the Bible? I grew up listening and hearing, and I have, you know, studied it out. And I know why people say it, and they might be right. Look right up here. They might be right, and I might be wrong on this. So I'm telling that in advance. You know, I can get talked in and out of this. But because of some Old Testament references, everyone wants to plug in the nation of Israel right here, okay? And they want to say, well, you know, 1948. And you know what? Hey, if that motivated the church for a generation, good. You know, like I said, we need different things to get us up and going, okay? But I want you to just imagine that no one's ever taught you that. And I want you to look at this verse. After all the things that he just taught, he says this. He says, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When you see her branches yet tender and put forth leaves, you know that summer is near. Okay, let's stop. What did he say? There's a tree called a fig tree. At a certain time, because of the way the branches put forth its leaves, you know summer's near. You know that the time of figs is coming. Okay? So you can just tell by looking at the tree the signs that the fruit's about to come. Come on, we drive down country roads and we say that corn, we won't be long for the corn. Hey, you go out, it won't be long, we'll have tomatoes. Okay? All right, now watch this. Look what it says next. And then it says this. So ye in like manner, when ye shall see what? Well, what have we been talking about? What's the context? What was the question that was originally asked? We talk about the nation of Israel becoming a, what are these things? And if it was a thing, nation becoming Israel, why does it say when you see this thing? And I think sometimes, folks, I mean this, sometimes we just overstudy and context is your friend. Now, if you want to believe it's nation of Israel, then, okay, that's 1948. I've watched you make a generation 40 years, a generation 70 years. Now they've adjusted to a generation being 100 years. And it might be. Maybe a generation's 100 years. I can show you a Bible verse that says that, but it's clear back in Genesis before God hit the reset clock as far as what a lifespan is. I'm not going to argue. I'm just saying, I think when he's talking about these things, what have we been talking about? The signs of the times. He says, listen, when you see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh even at the doors. Sometimes we're so focused on what happened to Israel in 1948, we're not saying what we ought to be looking at is the obviously stated unarguable signs of the times that he said was coming. And he says, when you see this massive increase in all this, remember that generation won't pass until these things come to pass. Verily, verily, verily I say unto you that this generation will not pass till all these things be done. Know that it is nigh, even at the doors. Okay. And then we see in closing, let me just give you this. End time facts and promises. Let's just finish. I'll give you three truths at the end from 31 to 37. No matter what happens in heaven or earth, folks, remember this, the word of God will stand. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Now, why is that in this chapter? Because of the deception level. And what he's saying is this, get in your book, know the book, study the book. Because what will fool other people won't fool you, because no matter how crazy it gets, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And this whole world and everything that God created can burn up with a fervent heat, and the words of God will not be altered. So I'm going to put my faith in this book and what it says and how this thing is going to end. And that's where I'm putting my faith. Number two, no man or angel, not even Christ, knew the day or hour of these things, only the Father. And I already mentioned that in verse number 32. And then the last thing. What is the last message he drills into them? Look, if you will, at verse 33. Take ye heed, watch and pray. Look at the end of verse 34. And commanded the porter to watch. Look at verse 35. Watch ye therefore. Look at verse number 37. And what I say unto you, I say unto all. What? So he gets to the end of this teaching. And oh my goodness, you know what we need to do? We need to write a book on the end times, or we need to, you know, let's produce a series Left Behind. And let's, you know what he said? He said, all this stuff, the reason I'm giving you this information is, church, don't fall asleep. Lest coming, look at verse 36, lest coming suddenly he finds you sleeping. Church, you can't fall asleep. And one of the reasons, one of the ways that Jesus is going to continually wake up the church in the end times is, I've said these things will happen. As they happen, it's going to refocus you. It's going to get your attention. Listen, I don't like what's happened in America in the last 18 months. The church needed what happened in America the last 18 months. The church needed it. It needed it. When I say the church, I'm talking about all believers. Did Blessed Hope Baptist Church need it? Yes, we did. I needed it. You needed it. You're on higher alert than you were 18 months ago. You're taking a handful of things more seriously than you did 18 months ago. You know, so if Jesus is this close to coming back, man, all of this, you know, nickel dime stuff and all the distractions of the world and all the little things that we're not in compliance with the scriptures on, kind of time to get our act together and say, you know what, when Jesus comes, you know what, I don't want him to find me sleeping. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for your watch care over us, Lord, for taking good care of us, for being more gracious to America than we deserve. And Lord, you know that you hear that from me a lot. And Lord, I mean that. Thank you for your grace and mercy and for extending grace to allow those of us that are still working in the harvest to try to get in as much as we can before the storms come rolling in. Lord, I pray, dear God, that even in the midst of the storms, we'd look at this, begin to look at all these things. Doom, gloom, despair, we can set up at home and worry and wring our hands and walk the floors at night. Or we could say, what an exciting time. Might not be an easy time, but an exciting time. It's going to allow opportunities to speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ we've never had before. Everything the devil is going to try to do for it to be evil, with God's grace, we can help turn it into good. So, Lord, just equip the church. Help us, dear God. May we be alert, awake, when you come. We pray in Jesus' name.